Mo'adim leSimcha. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Dalet. And the last case that we spoke about in the list in the Mishnah of what things are going to be b'chal of the Aveda, the last case that we had was Yoshev. Now the Mishnah continues on and talks about someone, a Kohen, who is omid al gabe kelim, or al gabe behima, or al gabe ragle chavero. So even if he is not Yoshev, but he's omid with a chatzitza between his own bare feet, which the Kohanim were bedavka barefooted, so there shouldn't be any chatzitza, because there was no beged given for the foot. So there cannot be a chatzitza between the skin of the Kohen and the floor of the Azor. If somebody is standing either on Kalim or on a behemoth or even on someone else's foot, it would also be possible. So how do we know that? The Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, however, it's by Mekudesh and Tukli Shoreis Mekudashim. Since, as we're going to see, David HaMelech had given a Kedusha to the actual floor of the Azora, which we're going to see later on, and we've spoken about before, the Shnei Todais and the walking around and the Shira. So that gave an actual Kedusha to the Ritzpah. And the Klishores were Mekudashim with the Shemen HaMishcha. So the same way that the Klishores, Lo Yehid Avar Chetzeitz, Beinodav and Klisharein. So remember, we learned before that it has to be the Gufa Shel Kohen. So it's the Kohen means the skin of the Kohen has to be in touch with whatever Avodah he's doing. He has to be holding the Kli directly. He can't have something between his skin and the Kli that he's using. Af Ritzpah. So then the same thing would be true about the floor. If a Chatzitza passels the Kedushas HaKli, then a Chatzitza passels also Beino Levein HaRitzpah. And why do we need three different cases? That makes sense. Kelim in this order. Kelim, standing al gabe beima, or standing al gabe ragle chaviro. So we need those three cases in that order. Because iash mina kli, mishum delav mina debasim. You know, I say, okay, obviously, if you're standing on a cup or a plate, I mean, of course, that's a chatzisa. That's not similar to your foot, and it's not similar to the floor. Aval behima, which is a mina de basra, maybe an actual living animal would be not a chatzitza, just like you are a living animal. So maybe that's not considered to be. And if I would have said behima after saying kli, I would say, okay, maybe an animal is different than a human. But if you're standing on another human's foot, so then it's mamish the same mean. And therefore, chavero is an adam. Maybe that's not considered to be a chatzitza. Therefore, we need to know that not only lozu, avzu. So the Mishnah is constructed along the classical lines of lozu, avzu, and all three cases are possum. Now, question is, Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, what would be the din if one foot is on a kli or on those things that are a chatzitza? And the other foot is still on the floor, or raglachat even al ha'evin. You put a loose stone on the floor, and the other regal is on the floor. How do we decide whether he's considered to be omed al haritzpah without a chatzitza? Well, what we do is we are ro'in. Let's imagine koshilu yinatela klivet yinatela evin. If this Kohen would be able to stand on the one foot where we would remove, let's say, the Evan or the Kli that he's standing on with his other foot, so now his other foot would be in midair. Is he still standing or is he going to keel over? Well, that's the determining factor. If it could be Omed al Raglo Achas V'Yavod when he's standing on the floor, and therefore Avodas HaKashera. But if not, then the Avoda would be puzzle. The reason that this is true is because of a Gavi concept, assuming he has his magical pen even during Kol HaMoed, since it's a mitzvah, to write this down. When you move it up and down, do like sparks come out of it and everything? Or not on Kol HaMoed? So in that case, the klal is, it's a klal that is misayeya in bo mamash. So if somebody is doing something, well, the person would be able to do it anyway. And now the question is, if two people are doing it, it's not considered to be kosher. But if he's only being misayeya, the individual who could do it on his own, then it's not considered to be a problem. And in this case, the foot that could stand on its own is being helped by a foot that's standing on his friend's foot, but that's irrelevant because it's only a misayeya. And we only look at what the non-chatzitza floor is like. So therefore, it's not a problem. The question of why we would consider an even to be a chatzitza, since the floor of the Azorah is not considered to be, it's made out of avonim, that's because something that is going to be taken away is always a chatzitza. And since you cannot have a loose even on the floor without causing people to trip over it, which would be ridiculous in the Beis HaMikdash where people are running with the korbanos, it was definitely standing to be taken out. So therefore, for sure, it's going to be a chatzitza, despite the fact that it's very much like the floor itself. So therefore, it's all a question of misayeya. Another question. Oy Rebbe Yami, suppose one of the tiles, the stone, that's on the floor of the Azara was loose, and the Kohen is standing on that loose stone. Is that considered to be a proper, even though it's a wobbly floor, is it considered to be the Azara or not? So now let's think about what the situation is. If this is not an event that requires calling in someone to reconnect it, and there's no intent to reconnect it, it's a minor problem. It's very, very, little wobble. It's not really something that is necessary to fix right away. So, hecha de'ein da'ato lechabra, if you have no intention of reconnecting it to the floor, so then for sure, it's a chatzitza because it's not part of the floor. The question is, if your das is to be mechabered, so perhaps in that case, it's considered still to be part of the floor, just temporarily with a problem of some wobble, but it's still part of the floor. Oh, Dilma, or do we say, listen, bottom line is that this stone is disattached, and it's basically a chatzitza. Dashta miha talisha. It's not connected, and if it's not connected, why would it not be? Since you're not going to leave it here like this, ultimately it's going to have to be, it will eventually either be removed or it's going to be reconnected. That's one approach. Rabbi Zute says that wasn't the question. The question that Rabbi Ami asked was if a stone was actually taken off, it was nekra completely. So now you've got a hole in that place. The Kohen stands on that ground of the Azara, despite the fact that the rest of the floor of the Azara is covered with stone, his feet are directly on the dirt that's underneath the stone tiles of the Azara. So what's it in there? What's the question? I mean, there's no problem if he's standing on the floor, is there? His question is, when David HaMelech was the one who prepared the whole area, remember, for the Kiddush of the Beis HaMikdash, and he dug it out. He was there, dug the shittim out. You remember the whole Gemara. So when he made the kedusha of that ritzvah, was it a kedusha on the upper floor, which was the avanim, or maybe the kedusha was the entire floor down all the way to the middle of the earth, for that matter? Dilma adla ari tatoma kaddish. And if it was only a kedusha on the floor. So then if you're standing on the dirt, he was never Mekadosh that. The floor would therefore be something like a kli. And the kli was Mekadosh, but the floor under it wasn't Mekadosh. That can't be the question, says the Gemara, because then why are we talking about a stone? Why not just ask, what if all of the Avanim were removed with the intent maybe to, put on new stones? Meanwhile, the Kohanim are working on the floor without stones. It has nothing to do with it being a particular stone, does it? So why wouldn't we have simply asked Kala Zarakula? There's a different issue here. So the issue must be like this. Obviously, it was clear to Rabbani that, of course, David HaMelech wasn't Mekadesh just a layer of tiles. He was Mekadesh the ground of the Beis HaMikdash. And for sure, if the entire Azara was reduced now to its dirt level, fine, then that would be completely okay in terms of all of the dinim of chatzitza and so on. But Hachikami, by the way, his question is, in a crazy situation where a kohen is standing on 1 square foot of floor where there's no stone, I mean, that's weird. So now the question is how appropriate it is, because there is a concept of derech sherut. There are things which we understand ourselves to be inappropriate for sherut, which is basically the way that the other Lashon and Rashi understood li amida b'chartiv v'lo li yeshiva. I mean, it's clear that it was supposed to be appropriate. What am I interested in some guy lounging around and being my kohen? I'm not interested in loungers. But it was more of a statement of appropriateness. Get up, you idiot, type of thing. You know, but it wasn't telling me the psul, which is why I needed the 2 psukim of the Lama, the Shores, and the Omdim. So over here, this is a concept that we're going to meet quite a bit of throughout Zvachim and Menachos. It's a concept called Derech Sherut. So something that's not Derech Heretz is viewed as, by definition, not Ro'i for the Beis HaMikdash. So that was our question. Is it Derech Sherut or not? Teku. Next case that we had was Kibel Bismo Pasul. Suppose a Kohen was Mekabel the Dam with his left hand. So the Tanakhama holds that Kabbalah Bismo is Pasul. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, Kabbalah is actually Kosher Bismo. So where would this come from? Tana Rabbana. It says in the Pasuk that V'lokach HaKohen Midam HaChatat Be'etzba'o V'natan Al Karnot Mizbach HaOla. Now this is talking about the din of the par of the Kohen Mashiach, and it says that he should take note, take and give, right? Lakach v'natan. And in between the v'lakach v'natan is the word with his finger. So v'lakach be'etzba'o v'natan ha'karnot mizbeach. So this means that the word be'etzba'o applies to both the netina, and that's always put in the middle. So it's the v'lakach be'etzba'o and be'etzba'o v'natan. In which case, we need both the Kabbalah, which is the Lakach, has to be done b'yamin, and the Etzba v'natan has to be b'yamin. So the word Etzba'o goes back and forward. That, remember, is a klal called Mikra Nidrash Lifanav Ula'acharav, a concept that we've had numerous times, and it's one of the shitas about how to be derish. If a defining word occurs between two verbs, then it's defining both of those verbs. So they'd be etzba'o, which we're going to learn out, always by definition, from gzeirah shava to mitzerah, always means his right finger. That etzba'o is true about the Kabbalah, and it's true about the Nesina. So this teaches us, say the Tanakhama, that both are going to be puzzle if they're not done with the right. Omer Rabbi Shimon, I don't know where you get that from. Did it say anywhere the word Yad when it came to the Kabbalah? No. Doesn't say anything about Yad. So therefore, the Etzba'o would only be referring to the Vinatan, which means I agree that if you're going to be putting the Dam of the Chatas onto the Mizbeach, Lo Tenitina, Ela Biyamin, that's true. But since it didn't say anything about Yad when it came to the Kabbalah, Kibel Bismol is kosher. Now, this doesn't make any sense at all. Yeah, I mean, how did Yad get involved over here? Look, we have, as we're going to see later, we have a Gezerah Shava. That Gezerah Shava has both Yad and Etzba, because it says by Mitzorah, it says, V'tovala kohenet etzba o hayimanit. Okay? So if it says etzba, it means etzba o hayimanit. It also says that V'lakach ha-kohen midama ashan, V'natan ha-kohen atruch otzen ha-metaher hayimanit, V'abohen yado hayimanit. So we learn from Mitzorah also where it says yad, and it doesn't say anything else, it means yado hayimanit, When it says etzba, it means etzba hayemanit. So what is Rabbi Shimon talking about? Does it say yad? Why does it have to say yad? Mumanavshach. Does Rabbi Shimon have this gzereshava? So then yad and etzba are exactly the same. And if Rabbi Shimon does not have this gzereshava, so what would have been the difference? And if it did say yad by Kabbalah, if he doesn't have the gzereshava, what makes him say that yad means yad yamina? So what is that supposed to mean? Ask the Gemara, v'chilo nimra yad b'kabbalah. What's the difference? Rabbi Shimon m'manavshach. I eat le gzereshava. So if he learns yad, yad from the Torah, that yad is yamin, so then what would be the difference if it says yad? Because it also says gzereshava for etzba'o hayimanit. So who cares if it says yad? And if he doesn't have the gzereshava, so he doesn't hold of etzba, then what would have been the difference if it would have said yad? It's the same gezerah shava, then he wouldn't have held of yad yad either. So ki nemra yad b'kabbalah, what difference would it have made? So what's the sense of what he's saying? Amar of Yudah, you know, look, it doesn't, obviously, you're right. I mean, it can't mean yad or etzba. What he meant to say was, is that I don't hold of the gezerah shava. And therefore, my problem is, does it say anywhere that it has to be yad yamin by the Kabbalah? No. Since it doesn't say yad yamin, so kibel b'smol is kosher. Amalei Rabba, does that make any sense? So then if he doesn't hold the gzeirah shava, then how does he know that nitina does need to be with the yamin? You don't hold the gzeirah shava, then you don't know that etzba means yaminit either. So what's going on over here? And anyway, what you said is ridiculous, because Rabbi Shimon does hold to the Gezerah Shava. In fact, he's one of the main sources. The Od V'chilet by Rabbi Shimon Gezerah Shava. You're telling me Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold to this Gezerah Shava? Of course he holds of this Gezerah Shava, because he's the one who says in the Brayta, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Makom Shenemar Yad is always Yad Yamin, and Kol Makom Shenemar Etzba, also, etzba ena ela yamin. So what are you telling me he doesn't know the gzeirah shava? Where does he get this from if it's not from the gzeirah shava? This approach of Rav Yehuda is ridiculous. So then, can we start over again, says Rava? I say, let's start from the opposite, Yesod. Of course, Rabbi Shimon does hold to the gzeirah shava. And what Rabbi Shimon was saying is, look, does it say anything about yad b'kabbalah? No. It only mentioned etzba. So you said, because the etzba comes between the Kabbalah and the Nesina, between the Velakach HaKohen and the Venatan HaKohen, you said it goes on both. Well, how could it go on both? You can't be Mekabel Adam with your finger. How are you going to hold the Mizrach with your finger? So therefore, in this case, it's obvious that it's not referring to the previous part. It's only referring to be'etzba o v'natan, and not be'etzba o v'lakach, because that's not the way we do Kabbalah with an etzba. It's just logistics, man. So everything makes perfectly sense. So he's saying, oh, v'lo nemer yad b'kabbalah. So what are we trying to say? That etzba is meant to be used by Kabbalah? It's yefshe le Kabbalah be'etzba. How are you going to do the Kabbalah of the Mizrach with your finger? So therefore, must be the kibbul b'smol kosher. That's what he meant. Perfectly reasonable. Omer Rav Samer, brother of Asher Levino, what's so perfectly reasonable? Have you never had a cup of coffee? You know what a coffee mug looks like? It looks like the Mizrach Adam with a little circle on it, which is called an ozen, because it looks like an ear. Now, can you hold a coffee cup with your finger? All the time. So why can't you hold a Mizrach with your finger? So I understand what the problem is. Make a Mizrach with a little coffee cup holder and show us. Go ahead, show us, Ari. Hold that cup. How do you do a Mizrach with a finger? There we go. Amazing. An actual show and tell. If Barnea were here, he would be plotzing. Okay, so we've got a real Mizrach with an ozen. So what are you telling me that therefore it can't mean that it has to be yamin? It certainly can be yamin. So, Omele Rav Sama, brother of Asher Levina, what do you mean? You can't tell him you can't make it into a coffee cup? Efshar David by Ozan was Fata Mizrach, and he's been in Mekabel Adam with his finger. So what's the problem? Ah, I'll tell you the right shot, says Rabbi. Hello, Omer Rabbi. The question over here is a general question of drusha. And it's the shaila of whether, this is the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama, is whether a word that occurs in a pasuk is referring to both the things that were mentioned prior and to what's mentioned subsequently. That's the machlokas. So the Tanakhama says the word etzba that comes between v'lakach and v'natan is mikra nidrash both v'fanav and li'acharav, and therefore it's b'chayiv yamin both for the v'lakach ha-kohen and for the v'natan ha-kohen. Whereas Rabbi Shimon holds, no, a word is only nidrash li'acharav, not l'fanav, and therefore I don't have any pusik. That's what he's saying. Does it say anything about yamin? Does it say yad, etzba? Does it say anything about the lokach hakohen? It only says it on the venasan hakohen. That's the machlokas. Omer Abaye, you know something? Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, he holds his own shita, and he obviously did not agree with his father in this, because he said a pshat that was against Rabbi Shimon, who was his father. And the following din of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon actually is mafka mitavu. It cancels his father's approach, but it also cancels the Rabbanan's approach. He doesn't hold either of these din. He doesn't hold a mikra is nidrash only lefanav, like his father, and he doesn't hold that a mikra is nidrash lefanav ula acharav, like the Rabbanan. But instead, look at what he said to Tanya. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon Omer. If the Torah says etzba in a pasuk, that's a reference to Kabbalah, then the halacha is if you did it with your left hand, it's pasuk. Any place where it uses the word etzba in the netina in that same case, it would be kosher. So davka, he's referring to this pasuk. V'lakach ha-kohen midam achatas be'etzba'o. That's where it says etzba b'kabbalah, and then when it says v'natana karlot mizbach ho'olah, it doesn't say anything about etzba. So what does he hold? That the mikra is only lefanav, not la'acharav. So he disagrees with his father, who says it's only la'acharav and not lefanav, and he agrees with the Rabbanan, who disagrees with the Rabbanan also, disagrees with both of them. He holds it's not true, it's not la'acharav, and it's certainly not la'acharav ulefanav. It's only lefanav. And therefore, from here, we would learn the opposite of what my father said, that it's dafka, the kabbalah of the dam that's pasul, but the nesina that would be kosher. So then shina be kabbalah would be pasul, but the nesina would be kosher. And anywhere that you have a pasuk where it says the opposite, it says the etzba on the netina, which we haven't seen a pasuk like this yet, but we're going to ask, where's that pasuk? If it says etzba only in the netina, then, if you change the shina, you did it with small, but the netina, then the netina would be pasul, but the kabbalah would dafka be kosher. And where is that? Echa nemar etzba benetina. What's he referring to? He's referring to the abalakachta midam hapar v'natata karnota mizbeach beetzba echa. So over there, we're talking about the miluim. We're not talking about over here the par of the Kohen Mashiach. And when it came to the par ha-miluim, there it says, v'lokachta midam ha-par, and it doesn't say be'etzba echa. But it does say v'natata be'etzba echa. So that means that it mentions, according to him, it mentions yamin only on the netina, and it does not mention yamin on the lekicha. So then the halacha would be the opposite. And therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, it would only be the netina that would need to be b'yamin, which means that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, a mikra is nidrash only lifanav, and not la'acharav, and not lifneifanav. It's also not going to refer to whatever came before. So therefore, it's not referring to the Kabbalah. Omer Rabba Bar Brachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Koma kom shenemar, etzba v'kuhuna. So if the pasuk mentions, and we thought that this means that the idea over here is you've got to have both the word hakohen or hakohanim and the word be'etzba'o, if it says both of those terms, then it means it has to be a right hand. So, eina ela yamin, which is not what we've been saying until now. Until now, we didn't talk about needing the word kahuna. We just said, if it uses the word etzba, or yad, it means yamin. So, what we took this to mean, lechatchila, kasalka taitach, we took this to mean that you need both. So, where does it say both? Well, so, take a look at this pasuk. Lakach hakohen midam hachatat be'etzba'o. Okay, so then, if it mentions the kohen, and it mentions the etzba, so then it means it needs to be b'yamin. Why do we know that? Because we learn it out from the mitzora. What does it say by a mitzora? V'tavala kohen et etzba'o hayimanit. So there it says both kohen and etzba, and it spells out the feirish in the pasuk yimanit. So that means if we have both of those words, so then the gzera shava is to those combination of words, but not to one word or the other. The problem with this understanding is that kmitza, and remember, kmitza by the din of a mincha is the same din. It's the equivalent of the shchita by a zevach. So by kmitza, it doesn't say anything about yad or etzba. It only says nefesh ki takriv v'avial b'nei Aaron hakohanim v'komatz. It doesn't say v'komatz b'yado. It doesn't say, obviously, v'komatz b'etzba'o. So how do we know that a kmitza has to be done b'yamin? And it says b'feirish in Menachos that a kmitza b'smol is pasul. So that means that kahuna without the word etzba, without the word yad, all on its own, since it said the kamatz hakohen, it says b'nei Aaron hakohanim the kamatz misham, that's enough. So that means we don't need both. So how do we understand Rabbi Bar Bar Chana? Elo amar Rava, no. Of course, it means either or, not the way you understood before. O etzba o kahuna. So whichever one appears, the avoda has to be done, be yamin. Omalei Abaya, how is that possible? Think about it. Remember that it says kahuna in the pasuk of Holacha Sevorim Lekevesh. Remember? This, we've had this pasuk already three times. V'hikriv hakohen et hakol v'iktira mizbeicha. And remember how we explained that? Is that when it says v'hikriv, it couldn't mean v'hikriv on the mizbeach, because afterwards it says v'iktir. So what does it mean? It means holachas evarim lekevesh. And it says over here, kuhuna. Now you're saying that since it said the kohen has to bring it, it means he has to bring it with his right hand. That's what you said. But the din is, as we're going to see, and we had this in the Mishnah, mamish beferish in Tamid, that the derech of carrying the evarim was that one of the kohanim carried the head of the korban in his right hand and carried the right foot in his left hand with the cut area of the foot, where it was detached from the body, facing inside his chest and leaving the or the skin on the outside, which is more derech kavod, so that it shouldn't look like a cut leg. Fine, okay. But Lamaisa, it says that he's supposed to carry it in his left hand. That's the way it was done. And this is even though it says beferish, v'ikriv ha-kohen et ha-kol, and that should mean, according to what you're telling me, the word kohen alone means it has to be with the right hand. So how do you explain this? It says beferish ha-regel shal yamin b'smolo u'beit ora l'chutz. Well, says Rava, isn't it obvious? Ki amrinan o etzba o kohuna. I mean, yes, when we came up with that idea that either one would be ma'akev, it has to be referring to an aveda that is ma'akev kapora. If the aveda isn't ma'akev the kapora, so how could the right hand and the left hand be ma'akev? It's ridiculous. So therefore, in that case, since we know we can avoid doing that avoda completely, and even if we didn't do the akrava of the evarim on the mizbeach, the korban was kosher already, completely kosher. So it can't mean that it needs to be etzba or kahuna, obviously. And therefore, ki amrinan o etzba o kahuna, That's only bedover hama'akev kapara, and that's exactly the mokar of the whole halacha. The mokar of the whole halacha was exereshava to mitzora, right? And the din in the mitzora, that over there he's supposed to do the zrika of the both of the dab and the oil. Anyway, so he's supposed to be zurika towards the kadosh, the heichal of the kadosh kadoshim. So over there, that's absolutely necessary. And therefore, it's going to be ma'akev. But to try to apply gzeirah shava to something which itself is not ma'akev from a mitzera, where the only case that we find it is in something that is ma'akev, makes no sense. Well, now wait a minute. When it talks about Kabbalah, which is obviously ma'akev kapara, so, and it says over there, kihuna v'ikrivu, the same pasuk, remember we proved from one to the other, that when it says v'ikrivu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohanim et Adam, that meant also Kabbalah. It did not mean literally putting it on the Mizbeach, and it means the same thing as it meant over here. That was the Kabbalah of the Dam. And that is Dover Ma'akev Kapora. That's one of the four Matirin. And it says in the Mishnah, Kibel B'Smol Patsul, and Rabbi Shimon is Machshir. But it says Kuhuna. And Rabbi Shimon says, wherever it says Kuhuna, it means be a mean. Now you're telling me that Rabbi Shimon was matir if it was done with smol, the Kabbalah, and he says it's kosher. So make up your mind. Apparently he does not say that Kuhuna is good enough on its own to be Mechayev Yamin, and Yetzpa is good enough on its own to be Mechayev Yamin. Ah, you missed the point. Rabbi Shimon apparently holds you need both Etzba and Kohen. What? That for sure is not true. What? Me boy Rabbi Shimon Tarte. We just had the Braita. The Braita said Vatanya. Rabbi Shimon Emer. Kol makom shenemar yad eno ela yamin. Kol makom shenemar etzba eno ela yamin. Say one word about kuhuna. He said the word yad and the word etzba is learned directly from mitzora. Yad, yad from mitzora, and etzba, etzba. So don't try to give me that Rabbi Shimon requires both. Wait a minute. It's true that according to Rabbi Shimon, wherever it says etzba, it means you mean. But the thing about wherever it says kuhuna, it means you mean, that's not true. The word kuhuna on its own, without etzba, actually does not mean dafka b'yamin. And so it's true that kuhuna does come into this pasuk that we said v'kriva kohanim, and that's referring to Kabbalah, but it doesn't say be'etzba or be'yad. Well, so I don't understand. So then what you're saying is that the word kohen is meaningless. You're saying, if it says etzba alone, or yad alone, it means you mean. And if it says kohen, then it doesn't mean you mean. And if it said kohen with etzba, then it doesn't. So what do we need the kohen for? We don't need the kohen. Just say the etzba, or just say the yad, right? So why does it even bother saying kohen over there? When we were talking about the Kabbalah, if you're telling me that the only word that counts to tell me you're chayev in yamin, so well, obviously the Kohanim, it says Bnei Aaron, Vizarku Bnei Aaron as Adam, and we said the Hikrivu, the Kohanim, we know that they're Kohanim. So why do we have to say it again? That doesn't make any sense. Bnei Aaron Kohanim, of course Bnei Aaron Kohanim. I mean, I thought that that's the whole point. Bnei Aaron Kohanim, the word Kohanim is there to tell me that you need Yamin. Now you're telling me, no, actually, the word Kohen does not mean Yamin. So then why is it even mentioned? Ah, that's something else. That's to teach me that they have to be wearing their big day kuhuna. So therefore, it means the Kabbalah has to be done the state of kiyunim, the meaning that they're wearing their big day kuhuna. Well, what about Zrika? By Zrika, it doesn't say anything about Etzba, and it only says Kuhuna. It doesn't say Etzba, V'zarku b'nei Aaron ha-Kohanim et amo al ha-Mizbeach. This is b'nogeya the Korban Oila, which is done Zrika, not b'nesinas Etzba. So how come over there we say in the Mishnah Vitznan, Zorak b'smol, if you did the Zrika of a the blood of the Eila, which is done b'Zrika as opposed to Nesina b'Chitui, and over there, Rabbi Shimon argues about Kabbalah, but he didn't argue about the Zrika. Why didn't he argue about the Zrika? You're telling me that according to Rabbi Shimon, where it only says Kohen, and it doesn't say Etzba or Yad, that it means that it would be Dafka Kuhuna, apparently, is not enough. But over here, apparently, it is enough, because it doesn't say anything about Yad and Etzba. And apparently, he agrees that the word Kohen is enough to be Mechayev. When it comes to the Zrika, it's Mechayev Yamin. How do you explain the inconsistency between the Kabbalah and the Zrika, then, according to Rabbi Shimon? Omar Abai, there's no inconsistency. He didn't bother arguing in the Mishnah, but if you take a look in the Braita, you will see that, in fact, Rabbi Shimon does argue, even on the Zrika. To Tanya, Kibel Bismol, if a coin was Makabaladan Bismol, so then it's puzzle. Rabbi Shimon Makshir, and then continues the Braita, Zorak Bismol, Tanakama says puzzle, and there too Rabbi Shimon is Makshir. So that means that since it only said Kohen, it did not say Etzba, it did not say Yodai, it's indeed, according to Rabbi Shimon, consistently not Mechayev Yamin is as a psul. Okay, so now we've got no problems. Rabba Bar Bachana says Etzba or Kuhuna, and fine, we understand Rabbi Shimon has his own approach about Kuhuna alone not being enough. So let me ask you something. Rava said that we have a Gzeira Shava. And the way that he defined the Gzeira Shava is that Yad, Yad tells me that then, from the Mitzvah, that you need to have that repetition. Remember, by the case of the Mitzvah, it says three different things. It talks about Ozen Hayimanit, it talks about Yodo Hayimanit, and it talks about Raglo Hayimanit. So what exactly is the meaning of the Gzera Shava Binogea Yad? We understood the Etzba. But what is Nogea? The Ozen and the Yad and the Regel. So Rava said, well, actually, each one of them is essential for a different halacha. When it says Yad, it comes to tell me that when you do kmitza on a mincha, it has to be done, which until now we wouldn't have known. Kmitza itself, it doesn't say the word Yad, but it says Yimale Kapo, and Kapo is his Yad, the Kaf of his Yad, and that means that he has to do that Kmitza Vayimale Kapo Mimena with his right hand. Okay? Regel. Regel tells me that when an Almana who was Chayevet in Yibon, and the guy doesn't want to do Yibon, so then she does chalitza. And what foot does she do chalitza? Does she take off his shoe from? Since it says regel, it has to mean his right foot, because we learned that out also from the same Gezerah Shava of Mitzera. And what about Ozen? What does Ozen have to do with anything? Well, an Eved that refuses to leave the Odin and he wants to stay. So it says in the Torah, you put the Ritzia through his Ozen. It doesn't say which Ozen, through his Ozen and the door, but which Ozen? We learned that out from this Gezerah Shava. Just like it says, Bo'en Ozno Hayimanit by Mitzorah, so too it has to be the Ozen of the Hayimanit. And therefore, it's Bo'en Yado Hayimanit, and I meant Tnuch Ozen, I said, oh, Tnuch Ozno Hayimanit is the same idea as the Mitzorah. So now, what I don't understand is, why do we need a special Gezerah Shava for Yad? I thought Rabba Bar Bachana said that wherever it says Kuhuna, that that's enough. And it does say Kuhuna when it comes to Kmitza. So then why do we need a special Gezerah Shava for Kapo? Ah, you see, there's two different elements of Kmitza. One is the act of Kmitza itself. That's Chad L'Kometz. But remember, that there's also a din of kiddush komets, and kiddush komets, if you recall, you put it into kli shareis, and that was the equivalent of the din of Kabbalah. So in the same way, the kmitza shayach to the equivalent of the shechita for zvachim, the kiddush komets bekli is the equivalent of the Kabbalah's hadam by zvachim. This is the equivalent of kiddush bekli when it comes to kmitza of the mincha. So I need one pasuk to tell me that the kiddush komets needs to be done also with your right hand. Now what that means is actually a stira in Rashi, because the question is, does he have to hold the kli that he puts the komets into with his right hand, or does he need to put the komets into the kli with his right hand? And Rashi here said, there in Menachos, he said he has to put it in, and over here he says he has to hold it in, which is mashma, that it's two different things, and it's a stira. Okay, so many say it's not a stira. Here he's pointing out one aspect, there he's talking about another aspect. Okay, but we'll deal with more in Menachos. Now, question is, how in the world Rabbi Shimon understands this? Because according to Rabbi Shimon, the din is that we don't even need kiddush komets at all. You don't need to put the komets into a kli, according to one man d'omer. And there's another man d'omer, there's a machlokas about what Rabbi Shimon holds. But even according to the man d'omer, who says that you do need to do kiddush komets, but remember, Rabbi Shimon is machshir that kiddush komets b'smol, the same way as machshir Kabbalah b'smol, because kiddush komets is Kabbalah. So then according to him, what's the gezera shava v'yad yad derava? What's it coming to teach? It can't be teaching me that you need to have yamin for kiddush for komets if you don't even need the kiddush komets, or if we know beferish it's kosher. And if it's coming to tell me that the kmitza itself, no, because I don't need it to tell me the kmitza itself, because remember, we had that beautiful limud of Rabbi Yehuda Bereda Rabbi Chia. Remember what that was? The Omer Rabbi Yehuda Bereda Rabbi Chia. Why does Rabbi Shimon say that you can put the kmitz directly without putting it in kli? You could put it directly on the mizbeach with your hand? That's because the Torah says that actually the Kodesh Kodashim, the Mincha, is Kodesh Kodashim, Kichatat v'cha'asham. What are you comparing it to? Both v'chatas v'asham? We had this marvelous limud before, that in fact, it's up to you. If the Kohen wants to do the Aveda of the Kmitza with his Yad, then he has to use his right hand, which is what he would do if it were a chatas. And if he wants to put it into a kli and bring it to the mizbeach with a kli, then he can even use his left hand like the asham. So therefore, it's going to be the equivalent of that zarika. So if that's the case, he's got a choice of doing it either like a chatas, which means by hand it's the right hand, the asham, which is zrika, and we said that zrika with smol, we just brought that brisa, that he holds zrika b'smol is kosher. And this, that's goof of the marker, that you can therefore have kmitza directly. I learned it from the pasuk, from this way that the Torah compares it to both chatas and asham. So I don't need a gzereshav of yad yad, because the Torah says, beferish, do it per yamin. Like the chata, so what do I need Yah to tell me be yamin? So in achinami, according to Rabbi Shimon, yad is there only for one special case, and that's the case of minchas chote. So, and it's talking about the komets itself, not kiddush komets. And why is that? Well, remember, Rabbi Shimon is the one who is derech taimed ikra, right? So he always tries to figure out, why did the Torah give us this halacha in this fashion? So Salka Daita Chamina, since Rabbi Shimon had analyzed the strange halacha that you do not put shemen and levena on a carbon of a chote. So the Gemara asks, well, why not? I mean, isn't this chote niskar? The fact that he's a chote now gets him off of the most expensive ingredients of the mincha. Does that make sense? I mean, if he's a chote, he should suffer. Let him pay more for the mincha. Instead, he gets away without putting on the lavona, very expensive, and without putting on the shemen zayit. So he explains what's the reason. The reason is because the Torah does not want it, a chote, to be bringing a korban mincha that's classy. He doesn't deserve to have a classy mincha. So we don't put any lavona on it, and we don't put any shemen zayis on it. It's all desiccant. So since that was the svara, hovi omer Rabbi Shuman, shelo yeh korban no muhudar. So I, when this works out perfectly, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shuman. Because since he's derish time at ikra, I would have thought, if I didn't have a special pasuk of yad yad l'kmitza, I would have thought, okay, if you do the kmitza bismol, this is a garbage mincha, and it doesn't deserve to be treated with the high-class way that we treat other menachos, because this guy is a bum, and he's bringing this carbon oil of a yared. So kikometzla bismol would be kosher. Therefore, we need a special pasuk, which is yad yad l'kmitza, not for all kmitza, but for this specific kmitza of the minchas chote. Excellent, gentlemen. Kol tov, everyone. Mo'adim l'simcha. Chagim u'zmanim l'sason. It's a great simcha to actually be able to sit here along with you. So thank you. Kol tov.